The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Dearly beloved brethren, I intend by God's grace to celebrate the Lord's Supper, unto which in God's behalf I bid you all that are here present and beseech you, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, that ye will not refuse to come thereto, being so lovingly called and bidden by God himself. Ye know how grievous and unkind a thing it is when a man hath prepared a rich feast, decked his table with all kind of provision, so that there lacking nothing but the guests to sit down. And yet they who are called without any cause most unthankfully refuse to come. Which of you in such a case would not be moved? Who would not think a great injury and wrong done unto him? Wherefore, most dearly beloved in Christ, take ye good heed, lest ye, withdrawing yourselves from this holy supper, provoke God's indignation against you. Amen. Amen. Those are some words, nice. Right? Yes. This is the exhortation that they give in the Church of England before communion is given if the priest feels that the people are negligent in coming to the table, right? Clearly, yeah. Clearly, quite a set of words to give. And so with this week, we are moving into the consideration of Eucharist. The third of four chapters in Rowan Williams' book, being Christian, Baptism, Bible, now Eucharist, and then finishing with prayer. So let's start with a bit of a quiz. What does the word Eucharist mean? Where are my scholars in the room this morning?
Thanksgiving.
Oh, see, right away. Okay, great, great. Can we break it down? Does anyone know their Greek? Anyone? Comes from the two parts are you, which is well, and charista, which means to offer graciously. And somewhere with that in English, we put it all together as Eucharist or Thanksgiving. And so does this word appear in the Bible?
No.
Why would you say that? Okay, all right. Tell me what you're thinking.
From what I remember, that would be a combination of different thoughts. It's not exactly said that way. I'm just throwing
something. They say the Last Supper.
They said the Last Supper.
Passover or something like that, yeah.
He gave thanks and grace. Right.
Yep. And the word that's used is a form of Eucharist, absolutely. So it does appear. We've taken that word and made it into the word that we use for the celebration of the Lord's Supper.
What was the word you just said?
The word Eucharist, or in Greek it's, I don't even have, Eucharistai is the form that's used, that is in the Bible, appears in the Bible. Because not everything, right, that we do as church or as liturgy appears in the Bible, but this absolutely is the celebration of the Last Supper. And during the Last Supper, Jesus gives thanks, and that is the word that is used as a form of Eucharist in biblical Greek. So what is the Eucharist? I know we just had a time change. Lots of grace.
Sharing of the blood and the body.
What else?
A meal.
It's a meal, okay. What else?
Real presence?
Yeah. Okay, what else?
It's
what
a
else?
Mystery.
Oh, a mystery, that's a good one. Yeah, what else?
Community.
It's what?
Community.
Community, and communion, yep. Absolutely. What else? Other thoughts about what the Eucharist is?
It's an invitation.
An invitation. Say more about that, please.
Well, I mean, I cheated. I read Rowan Williams, but we're guests. We're invited.
We are guests. Absolutely.
All of us, with warts and all, we're invited.
Absolutely. So that's right. Rowan Williams explains it as follows. He sees the Eucharist as we are guests of Jesus. We are there because he asks us and because he wants our company. At the same time, we are set free to invite Jesus into our lives and literally to receive him into our bodies in the Eucharist. His welcome gives us the courage to open up to him, and so the flow of giving and receiving, of welcome and acceptance, moves backwards and forwards without a break. We are welcomed and we welcome. Absolutely, we are guests at God's table. So we invoke Jesus and his spirit, we call him to be present, and we are able to do this only because he has first called us to be present. What do you think about that? Have you ever thought of the Eucharist in this way, this idea of being the guests of Jesus? Because that goes right back to the exhortation, right? Come to the table because God has said it and wants you very much to be here. I can read Rowan's words again if you want.
I mean, wasn't the Last Supper an invitation?
Yeah.
It was an invitation on that night for something quite radical. Mm. To take items that people eat every day and equate it with Christ.
Yeah, it's that juxtaposition of both radical and ordinary, and absolutely ordinary, right? Because we must eat, right? And the practice is to share meals, right? We are guests of Jesus. We are there because he asks us and because he wants our company. At the same time, we are free to invite Jesus into our lives and literally to receive him into our bodies in the Eucharist. His welcome gives us the courage to open up to him. What do you think about those words? Give me another reaction. Is that what you see the Eucharist as? Do you see it as something different?
Yeah. And the one thing, you talk about Jesus, now where does the Father come in? Now that's what gets interesting to me, because to me, the Eucharist is opening myself up to approach the Father. Otherwise, I'm not, the way I see it, so I don't necessarily understand it. I necessarily can approach the Father, but I can't through the Eucharist. I don't know, Catholic training from way back when. But it's like, so the Eucharist opens that door for me to go be able to approach the Father.
Mm.
And I don't know why I get this, but it's just coming up inside of me way down from little kid days. So where does the Father come in? Jesus is the, I mean, that's where it gets.
That's it gets right. Trinitarian theology will have you tied up in knots in an instant. Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because, right, Father, Son, and Spirit are all one, or Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, however you want to look at it.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Other thoughts about this idea of invitation and having to do the inviting because we respond to the invitation?
I don't know if this is something that I just do, but knowing that my loved ones who have gone on are with Christ, my thoughts are often of them and in prayer with them, as I know that this is the porthole that they have entered.
Mm. How beautiful to recognize the universality of the communion of saints and the broadness of the meal to which you are invited. Yeah.
And when I kneel at the altar there, I always have one or two people particularly in mind, you know, that I'm thinking of that day. It feels very welcoming and wonderful.
Yeah.
And they're at Christ's table already.
Yep. Yeah. Other thoughts that you want to share? I tell you what, let's give you a couple minutes. I know this is early, but let's give you a couple minutes to talk at your tables, because I think that it's challenging. You may just go up to the altar on Sunday to receive the body and blood, and that's okay too. But there's this meaning behind it, this invitation, and we approach it in different ways, right? Whether it's a portal to the Father, whether it is a recognition of our remaining in communion with all of those we love. Yeah.
The Eucharist to me, I had said mystery earlier, and I find, you know, the hardest thing for me in my worship is the Eucharist. But recently what I've been focusing on is transformation. And it's, how am I transformed by the Eucharist? And what does that, how does that, how does taking part in the Eucharist transform me within the body of Christ?
Yeah.
And the communion. And that is, that's kind of been a recent thing for me to focus on that part of, you know, my spiritual journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, it's always been sharing in God's grace, and that's part of the invitation. In addition to feeding us, we're sharing in God's grace, and there is blessing in that and forgiveness. I am a lay reader, and one of my favorite things is to chalice. I love to participate in that and be able to bless people and give people a wine. That's very spiritual to me.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, I mean, I sense we're starting to open up then. So what are other people's experiences of that Eucharistic moment? And is it consistent with or different with what Rowan Williams, you know, has described here? Yeah.
For me, it's a feeling of being sustained by Jesus, so that then I can turn when I leave the altar rail and take that into the world, whether it's my life and my friends, my family, et cetera. So that's what it does for me.
It's interesting. It's you take that moment and then turn to the world. I like that imagery. Yeah, thank you. Other thoughts? Yes.
Yeah, for me, it's something special. My relationship with God is my own, right? But when I take the Eucharist, it is with the thought that take this in remembrance of me. It's really special because that's the closest that I'm gonna get with God. And in the setting that it's in, it's spiritual, it's holy, and it's special.
Yeah. This morning when I was giving communion in the chapel, somebody had their hands out and I put the wafer in and they said, thank you. And for a moment I was like jarred out of the moment because don't thank me. I am literally just, you know, providing you with God's grace, not because of me, but because of God. This is all because of God. And so, it was this moment of, you know, don't see me here, right? This is why clergy all dress the same, theoretically, right? And our chalice bearers all dress the same. Don't see us. You know, we are standing in for God, giving you and being with you in this moment. Yeah. Yeah.
The words leading up to my actually taking communion are always very profound for me. Now, sometimes I'm the celebrant is saying the words and I'm in prayer, but sometimes I do like to look up because I like to see the chalice being lifted and the bread being lifted. These are tangible items that I'm about to partake in with others. And the remembrance, you know, the words of Jesus, you know, that on the night before he was betrayed, and then it talks, and you know the words better than I do, but just to be able to be reminded of a very seminal moment in history, a very seminal moment in life, however you want to take it, that happens every week, or for some people every day. Some people take mass, go to mass every day, but just that, it's always good for me to be able to see what's going on and seeing those items being lifted, because again, the ordinary, but there's reverence attached to it.
The ordinary and the extraordinary, yeah. All in one.
Yeah,
much like Jesus was.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I do often, interestingly enough, feel a thank you when the wafer's handed to me. Absolutely, mm-hmm. I feel that. You are the conduit, like Christ breaking the bread and handing it. You are his representative here to bring it to me. Hmm. It's all one action. So I often feel that. I don't say it because you were thrown and I could see that would maybe throw someone. But I often look up at the person giving it to me and think, this is wonderful.
Thrown not because it was wrong, right? I mean, but thrown because No, don't thank me, right?
Oh no, I get what you're saying.
I thank
completely.
You for the gift of, you know, of being here, of being in community, of being one of God's vessels, right?
You're so
That's
glad
how,
to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is a gift
yes.
to get to do this. Sure. Yeah. Other thoughts?
I've always thought that there was something wonderful about the Episcopal Anglican way of doing the Eucharist. When I compare it to, for instance, when we go to the little congregational church up in the country, where the little grape juice is in these individual things and gets passed around, everybody sticks it in front of them, and then everybody drinks their grape juice. Somehow it doesn't have the same feeling that when you walk up to the altar, or even if you're not able to walk the altar, and the priest comes to you and gives it to you. There's something that's much more meaningful, at least to me, than this other way. And it's not that it isn't important to the people in those pews. It is. It's just for me, it's not the same at all. And also the way in our church we welcome anybody who wants to come, I think is also wonderful. That's not true everywhere. So I don't mean just at St. James. I mean in the Anglican tradition. I think that's what he wanted. He wanted everybody to be welcome, and I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, this goes back to this nugget that the Eucharist is our principal act of worship. Celebrating the Eucharist together and sharing that meal is that is who we are and what we do, which is why we do it the way that we do. Not that it lessens the actions of others, but at least for our church and our faith, the way that we worship together, and I think that falls across other denominations as well, is to celebrate the Eucharist together. Absolutely, yes.
It's curious to me, because it's oftentimes when you are chalice and people take the paten and then scoop. And it's like, you had the first course, why don't you stay for the second? it's a two-part deal. And you don't have to take the wine, but you can take the blessing that comes with it.
Sure, absolutely.
I think I'd love to see people be encouraged to stay just for blessing, because I don't force it up on anybody, but I do lift it up.
Yeah.
And say a blessing.
And I think not everybody realizes that. I mean, you know, the reality is there's no half Jesus. And so you can take the bread and experience a complete communion. So, right. And some people stay for the blessing with the cup, and others, once they take the bread, they're sufficient. And that's okay. That there is no half Jesus. So.
But it's almost like from a chalice point of view,
yes.
I'm not going to force it down your throat.
Understand. But everybody may not realize that, right? I mean, different people coming into this space have different practices that they may have done and may get up, you know, for any number of reasons. And from a liturgical standpoint, they're good. They're good too. So, yeah. Mary.
The former rector told a story, which I had not heard, when she was talking about the Eucharist to the children of St. James. She went through the whole setting of the table and this and that, and it's a party, and we're invited to the party. And apparently, I did not know this, my daughter, who was then very young, quite young, said, well, if it's a party, why doesn't anybody look happy?
Mm.
And, you know, I've chewed on that, because that's a new story in my life that I only learned 2 or 3 years ago, learned about. But I think, again, in the journey to the altar, the journey to the table, incorporating where is the joy in that, and where is the joy?
Yeah.
Because it is a very serious thing that we do, going to the table, and as you said, it's the center of who, you know, it's our focal point. But, you know, how does that get manifested into...
Mm.
Looking happy and being joyful.
Is it serious or is it reverent?
Yeah, it's
reverent.
Solemn and holy.
And holy means what?
Set apart.
Set apart, right. Right? So it doesn't mean stiff and wooden. I served a church where every Eucharist, the children were invited to come around the table and participate in that moment. And you know, there were times that I would, you know, lift one up so they could see a little bit better as we're celebrating the Eucharist together. And as, you know, those of you who go to the 9:10 service know, children bring a lot of joy into the moment. And children are good at giving thanks and not being, taking the moment as seriously as perhaps we think it ought to be. So where do you find thanks in the Eucharist? We've talked about kind of how you approach the moment, but where do you find this giving thanks, the words that the Eucharist means? Is it as you come up? Is it when the words are said? Is it when you go back and perhaps your practice is to kneel and give thanks then? How do you approach that moment? Yeah.
I would say for myself, after Eucharist, right, kneel and you speak to God and give him gratitude for whatever it is that is in your life.
Yeah, yep. And you had a thought too.
Yeah, I just, after, you know, after I'm sitting down, I think basically like a child. I'm like, thank you for accepting me as I am. Because I've gone through very bad times with Christianity as a gay person. And, you know, it was like, you know, condemned, you're this, that, you're evil, you know. And just to be in a place where that's not the case. And just to say, God, I know you always loved me. I know that. And I was, but to sit there and feel the acceptance and the love and the compassion of the people around me. And everyone is there focused in, I don't call it seriousness, I call it being reverential. You know, but I just feel like a little child, happy. You know, that's when I come back. Usually, when I'm sitting there, you know.
Celebrating the Eucharist. One of our past rectors also taught me that it was a celebration and people should be happy. And I looked at it as a gift because when I am walking up and anticipating and then having the Eucharist, taking the Eucharist, you remember all that this hit, all of what the New Testament has done, has given us so much love and thankfulness and forgiveness, and it makes me joyful.
Other thoughts where the thanks is?
I'm thinking about my experience as a lay Eucharistic visitor. And I'm not approaching the table, but I'm approaching someone's home or maybe a hospital room. And I guess what I think about in the short service that a lay Eucharistic visitor does with another lev and the person who is requesting communion, for me, it's thanks that the whole idea of Eucharist, as wonderful as it is in a church, and it's amazing, can extend beyond the four walls of a church. And that the thanks and the community and what the Eucharist represents and being of service, for me, is one of the more moving aspects of being of service to Christ and to the church. And I have to say that I have great thanks every time I'm in that situation.
It sounds like the same thanks that I feel.
Yeah.
Being able to celebrate, absolutely, yeah. Other thoughts of where the thanks is, where you find the thanks in the moment?
I don't want to talk so much, but
no, please.
You know, I'm very thankful for having been fed that sensibility. And I love to watch the people ahead of me kneel at the altar, seeing them fed. So it's like the feeding of the 5,000. Yeah. You're all being fed, and it's like such a communal, wonderful thing. And then as I exit and I see people lighting candles, which to me is all part of it, when you get to stop if you want, and then getting back to your seat and kneeling or praying, it's just a very holy, wonderful experience.
Yeah, right, because it's a meal, right? We are sharing a meal. Sure, in the back.
I was going to say that it feels like a renewal of what I believe in, my faith, and it gives me a lot of strength for the week that goes on. and it gives me direction, and definitely right afterwards I give thanks, and before I give thanks as well. But I see it as a renewal.
So you had something also.
I was building on Malou's dinner party or party imagery, and thinking about when I go to a dinner party the next morning, I text my hostess or I call my hostess and I say, thanks. And for the Eucharist, the way I show my ongoing thanks, since I don't email God very often, is in living a life that reflects the gospel.
Did you look at my notes, or you just because you read Rowan?
No, it was Malou who sent me into this. How do you say thank you for a dinner party, right? You call up. Well, you can't. So you feed the homeless, or you work in the schools, or you're just nice to your neighbor.
And that's the secret. That is the key. That is the gift of this meal that we are given, is that it is God's invitation for us to go out with that meal, having been fed, and share God with others, live a godly life, and do those things that we are called to do as Christians. That's the secret sauce in Eucharist. Is that we're not meant, it's this juxtaposition of so many things, right? Of extraordinary and ordinary, of mystery and revealed words. And it's this juxtaposition of a moment that is deeply individual, as we've talked about. We all have our own personal posture towards how we receive the Eucharist, and we all do it together, right? And we are all called to take that meal and then share it. Absolutely. Yes.
Just building on Alexandra's point and the giving thanks and the going out, and to see the communion kit go out every week, being blessed and being handed to a lay Eucharistic minister is, I find, a very powerful gesture. Exactly what you said, just to go out with the elements and to, you know, take that meal out into, you know, our fellow parishioners and feed them in that way. It's a very holy thing.
Right, it's a reminder that not everyone who is fed by this meal is present in the room physically, right? That there are others among us who are just as necessary in receiving this meal, right? Yeah. And so we bring it to them. Right? We're doing lay Eucharistic visitor training later on, and that's absolutely the imagery that we're going to want to talk about. Yeah, absolutely. Other thoughts about the Eucharist and this juxtaposition and this idea of going out?
Yeah, I'm so glad you talked about that, because that's as an introvert, that's the hardest thing of all. I want to feel the joy, and I want to be happy, and like a kid, go, yay, I'm loved. But that part of going out there in a difficult city is the hard part.
Yeah.
And it takes that Eucharist and the community to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And I still haven't come to, I still don't know what my role is in that, but I try. And like someone said over here, I mean, just being nice to your neighbor. That's it, you know. That's whatever God prompts you, and He does. He does prompt you to say, "Oh, say hello to that person,"
yeah.
And do it. You know. And
so we've got just a minute before I've got to head up and get ready for round two, three, depending on how long. I want to leave you with this thought from Rowan. I want to leave you with this challenge, and then I'll leave you with a thought from Rowan Williams. So the challenge is that we don't often think about the Eucharist, right? For the Eucharist's sake, perhaps. We participate in it, but we've talked a lot about it, like what your posture is, how you participate in that moment. And what I'm hoping that you might do, either as you go upstairs for 11:15 or the next time that you're here at 9:10, next week, of course, right, because we're in Lent, that you think about your posture in the moment, the communal and individual, but most importantly, how you take that meal out and share it with others. That even though you are not, you may not be a lay Eucharistic visitor, how do you take that meal and share it with others the way God calls us to do. I'll leave you with this thought from Rowan Williams. In the Eucharist, we are at the center of the world. We are where Christ the Son gives his life to the Father in spirit. And in the Eucharist, we are at the end of the world. We are seeing how the world's calling is fulfilled in advance. We are seeing ourselves and our world as they really are, contemplating them in the depths of God, finding their meaning in relation to God. And the job of a Christian is constantly trying to dig down to that level of reality and to allow gratitude, repentance, and transformation to well up from that point. I hope you'll take all these thoughts with you as you head into the week.
Thanks, Marissa.
Thanks to you.